Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Now, You Only Live Twice. That's music from John Barry, obviously. The theme from You Only Live Twice with the orchestra, which is always, always a joy. And it's because we have an international man of mystery with me this morning. It's kind of Meet the Listener. It's kind of where we're going with this one. George, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Marty.
I better explain how we came across each other. You are okay. We can talk about your writing all we like, and we can talk about you being a professor in UCD all you like. But you're actually from where?
From the Lower Rhine Valley, Northern Germany.
Okay. And you found us on the radio, is this what...
Well, kind of. Many years ago. When did you start? 2012, 13?
I think pretty early then.
So listen, you've been a presence in my life since 2013, through ups and downs, through me visiting the States and South Africa and Thailand and Beijing.
And I would listen. Yes, but you would send us, we would refer to you as our man in the Dolomites.
Yes,
that's where I am now. You would send us photographs and stuff. We'd say, what is he doing? What is he up to?
What is he doing? Yeah, he's a historian and he's working with a research institute.
That's what you do because you're a professor. That's what you are.
Yeah, ex-professor. I'm no longer a professor. I'm just a researcher
young,
now.
Too young to be ex-anything, for God's sake. But that's your career. Yep. So what brought you to Ireland, if I can ask
that? Well, initially, what brought me to Ireland were the Scouts in 1980.
The Scouts.
Yeah, okay. I was in a Scouts group in Northern Germany, and they had made friends with a Scout group, a Scout patrol unit in Cork. So in 1981, we all sort of travelled to Cork, and we were on the Dingle Peninsula for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, and I stayed for another week in Irish families in Cork, and that's what initially brought me to Ireland. And then I just fell, like so many Germans, fell in love with the country, and that's why I studied English and history in university, because I wanted to sort of involve myself in things Irish. I absolutely loved everything Irish, and then I became a regular visitor from 1982 onwards, more or less until now. I happened to live here for 25 years as well.
Yes, you did, and taught in UCD.
Yes, in UCD, yeah.
But you, what is the attraction that Ireland holds for many Germans, do you think?
I can only talk about myself. I mean, the early 80s was a difficult period in Europe. The Cold War was still on. And then you came to Ireland, which was a completely different cosmos at the time. It was the island behind the island. There was no internet. There was no telephone, really, as such. You're on a different planet. And I liked that completely. And what I really, really liked about it was that, as a German in the early 80s, post-war, there was still this sort of the dark past, the brown past was still there. And then you came to Ireland, where people were actually proud of their culture. They were singing Irish songs and all that. And then I went to pubs and they said, can you sing a German song? And I said, I can't sing a German folk song because German folk songs are so tarnished by that past. So it's that completely different cultural experience that I had. That's what initially attracted me. And then all the literature and the music and the countryside, the weather, even as a
even on a day like today.
Absolutely.
It is fascinating. And then you would be in touch with us over the years. You're still on that beautiful motorbike. You have this beautiful motorbike.
Yeah.
And is it a Citroën? What car? The car?
Well, I have an old Citroën.
And you send us pictures, and we just sit here in envy on a cold winter's morning and looking at this lifestyle of this fella.
Well, isn't it just as well that you come over to Northern Italy?
It's good. Well, of course, we love Italy, so therefore. And then we met you in Verona when we were over there only a few weeks ago.
Yeah, literally.
And then you gave me this book, The South Tyrol Question, which is... It is fascinating. Okay, I read the book? No, but I've dipped, and I thought it's so interesting that whole sense of history that most of us would not necessarily have followed at the level you would. And you take it's 1866 to 2010, but it's about how between Germany and Austria and Italy and all of that stuff, trying to get a handle on it and to understand what was going on.
Yeah. As a historian, I mean, I have to say that the regional history of the South Tyrol, that German-speaking part of Italy, is one of the most interesting regional histories in Europe, I would say. And also, it encompasses so many phenomena that you find elsewhere in Europe. Whatever you find in Europe in the 19th and 20th century, you find in South Tyrol. Yeah. And what I find so interesting about it is how the South Tyrolians, the German-speaking South Tyrolians, have managed to retain their culture, their tradition, all that, over 100 years by living in Italy and doing it in a more or less peaceful way. And I often, because I came to history through Irish history, of course. I published on the Gaelic League, Conor na Gaeilge, the history of the Gaelic League, and then the Irish Writers' Movement, the Anglo-Irish Writers' Movement, and so on. So nationalism and regionalism in Europe has really been my research area. And I find so many parallels between the Irish striving for their own independence, 1922, and the German-speaking South Tyroleans striving for sort of an autonomy, which they finally gained in 1972. So there are a lot of parallels.
And when I went through it, there was a great piece where you talked about, and I will find it now, where you talked about the fact that if you take that whole region and what it went through and all the things it had to go through, it's like a small version of what the world has had to go through.
Yes, absolutely.
Between, be it fascism, be it and communism, obviously, and democracy, and all these things trying to win out, as it were. And it literally is all these things together.
Absolutely.
And I was fascinated by this.
And the connection is even stronger in that it was the Irish who helped the Austrians in 1960 to bring the case of South Tyrol, because Austria felt that they were looking after their ex-compatriots in Northern Italy, to bring it to the United Nations. So it was Conor Cruise O'Brien and the Irish gang in New York, who brought the case of South Tyrol to the United Nations, which finally led to a peaceful solution and the second Statute of Autonomy in 1972. And the region has thrived ever since.
And it's that amazing thing where place names, and again I found that fascinating in the book, place names change, but they're not direct translations of what they are. So that you have these very Austrian or very German, and very Italian.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it slowly but surely becomes Italy as you go down.
It becomes it's Italian 1918 in a shot.
Yes.
And then it tries to emancipate itself from it, first through secession, which the Italians wouldn't allow. After World War II, South Tyrol was once again given to Italy, could not there was no plebiscite or anything else. So the South Tyroleans then tried to do it within the European framework.
Yes.
And that's what I find so interesting, because I'm also absolutely, I love Europe, and I'm big into Europe. My own CV is European, basically, and I can see that this European framework sort of bringing peace to areas that could potentially have ended up like the north of Ireland.
Yes, indeed. Come here, and where's home, by the way, now? Is it
home,
everywhere?
Home. I mean, my daughter once said to me, "Home is not a place. Home is a story."
Oh, I
love this idea, I have to say, because when I look at my own story, my part of my family is Polish, coming to Germany in the early 1900s. Part of it is French Huguenot. And then I moved over to Ireland. I founded a family here. I brought my family to Northern Italy. So we are Europeans. We're embracing this European concept. And I'm really proud of what Europe has achieved. And I'm fearful of the future, but I'm trying to do everything to keep Europe alive in my own limited means.
Did Michael tell me your daughter's graduate?
Yes, you were just mentioning graduation tomorrow in UCD.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Yes, we are very proud of Hannah.
And what has she a plan already? Or
yeah, I think there's a plan emerging. She's a very talented writer and director. She studied literature and drama studies, so I think she'll find something in that
that
region. Plans are emerging.
But she's living here.
She's living here for the moment, but I think she might go back to the continent, because she has kind of got the travel bug as well. You know,
sure.
So I think Vienna is luring. Something like
is
that.
Vienna,
Vienna.
And Dad has a great car, in fairness. Yeah. You have a great car. You wanted me to... I just love the fact that we just met through the radio. It's great. It's kind of slightly mad, isn't it?
Well, it's really mad, but I'm very grateful. I was just saying to Michael there, you've been a fantastic companion through all these years. Wherever I was in the world, I tried to tune in, and there's really this is kind of family spirit. But then it came COVID, and I mean, you were a lifesaver in COVID.
Oh, stop.
No doubt about it.
Well, you've brought chocolate to prove it, so.
The Batchy, a kiss.
This is good stuff. This is the good stuff. The Batchy, Classico, which is wonderful. Your German guest, Tom Cargillan says, loves Ireland because inside every German is an Irishman trying to get out. Fascinating
definitely
man,
true,
is George's very Sinclair and Sligo. So you're getting a great reaction. You wanted me to play a piece of music. What is this piece of music you want me to play and why?
Well, I think it fits the day. Schubert, Franz Schubert, Über den Wassern zu singen, to be sung on the waters. And I mean, that sort of goes well with the day that is today. It's a beautiful uplifting piece of classical music.
Well,
short and sweet.
Yeah.
Hinter die Schieb war der Schnee, wenn ein
What did you say that was called again there, Croak? What's that called?
Über den Wassern zu singen.
You old man yourself. No. And is that Miss Schwarzkopf, is it?
Elizabeth Schwarzkopf.
Elizabeth Schwarzkopf. Marge, is this a new part of your show, Meet the Listener? See, we started now. It's not a high note. It'd be very hard to keep up this standard. Loving the chats with Alan and Kilkenny, which is very, very true. The other thing to say is, and I love the fact that we met through the joy of radio, and it's just that madness that that you found us on the radio, and here we are, and we've been in touch ever since. Your daughter, I just want to mention her, Hannah May. She is graduating tomorrow. Your lady wife, Lindsay. And we loved the photograph you sent from Verona recently, which was just stunning. And we noticed, I hate to bring it up again, but we noticed the blue sky behind you. But anyway, Verona is, it remains one of my favourite places in the world. I just think it is exceptional. And you clearly love it too. Did you say you're going to see Zucchero there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You see, now you've... When's he on? When's he on and can I go? Is there room in the back of your bike?
Well, he has 12 concerts and he's expecting 11,000 people per concert, so he'll be paying to, what, 130?
Not 12 in the arena?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and 12 successive nights, yeah.
Good Lord.
Oh, no, he's an absolute... He's a local, national hero. No,
is he that big?
Oh, he's big. And he keeps the prices low. He's very, very... He doesn't want to charge 100, 150 euro. You know, so it's lovely, actually. I go to so many of Zucchero's concerts.
That's fascinating.
And he has that popular appeal in Italy. And
Zucchero, people will remember, it's a long time ago since he had a hit this part of the world, with Paul Young. Mm-hmm. They had a hit together years and years ago. But he's a great voice, very unusual voice.
Fantastic voice, yeah. That's awesome. He does cover versions as well, which are brilliant.
Really?
Yeah.
And a full band, the whole thing. Yeah.
Wonderful World, A Wonderful Life is one of my absolute favourites.
Yeah, but you've a wonderful life, look at you. Listen, you're doing Sunday Miscellany. You're going to be on Sunday Miscellany.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like I had so many wonderful encounters in the 25 years that I lived in Ireland, and recently I found a bit of time and thought, I just jot them down, and I listen to Sunday Miscellany as religiously as I listen to yours.
Thank you,
your show. And because I love the format, you have small little vignettes of Irish life or something to do with Ireland, sort of in 4 or 5 minute piece, and I just thought, I just jot them down and I sent them in, and I accepted a few of them. So we're going to do a recording or two or three today.
And can I ask you, what sort of, I mean, are you talking about South Tyrol, or are you talking about life in Dublin or Ireland? Or?
At the moment, it's all sort of about life in Ireland and coming to Ireland and encounters I've made here in Ireland. I mean, today we're looking at a story with, or rather about, Kofi Annan.
Oh,
and another one on me of me traveling to Ireland and meeting an old elderly Jewish gentleman on the motorway in London, and a fantastic story that came of it. But I don't want to give it all away.
No. But you're doing a few. That's the plan. I just think that's magnificent. I really do. I think that's magnificent.
I'm very grateful that they accepted these stories, because
but you.
It was my wife who said, why don't you jot them down and send them in, because they're lovely. And I said, well, they're just little tiny little
things. Then they asked you to do them. It's not like they gave them to somebody else. They said, would you come in and do them too? Which is lovely. Now, I don't want you getting too pally with them. You're our friend. You're our friend. I found Luciano Pavarotti with Zucchero, Miserere. Do you remember? Miserere.
Fantastic.
And Arbono, of course, is involved in co-writing this with Zucchero. Yeah. So that's kind of... Right. That's linkage again, I think, in fairness.
Unbeatable.
You're an absolute gent. Thank you so much for coming in. I'm so
Thanks
glad that you were able to come
anytime,
in.
No.
And it's interesting because people are saying, so glad that you enjoyed your years here and all the rest. So people are, you know, genuinely liking the idea that we met the way we met and that we've connected over the years. And you're great at sending the photographs, great at keeping in touch with us.
Coming back to Ireland is like coming home. I mean, it is an absolute wonderful place, and what you have here in Ireland is unparalleled elsewhere. I mean, it is a wonderful place. The heart opens whenever the plane touches down.
Really? And you presumably share this with people when you go away?
I mean, there's this old truism that you can't take the person out of Ireland, but you cannot take Ireland out of the person, and that's 100% true.
Yeah, definitely. Very true. Listen, keep the faith. Send us a picture next time you're out, and just we'll sit here in the rain, jealous as ever, but hopefully that we'll keep her going. You were saying that there was some talk of Vienna in the next while, so we might connect yet again.
Welcome to Vienna.
We might well connect. Thank you so much. By the way, your book, is it available here to buy?
I'm not sure if it's out of print, but it was published in 2012.
Right. Yeah. And it's The South Tyrol Question, 1866 to 2010, From National Rage to Regional State. Gorgon Grote, thank you so much for coming in.
You're thank you for having me.
Friend
thank
of the show.
Much.
God bless you. God bless you. Miser.